Today's daf in the Sechet Sotah brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Yud, and we're a bit behind. So we were talking about the various inyanim of Shimshon, and the last thing that we learned was that when Shimshon's mother, Tzlalfonit, was told not to eat Dvarim Tmeim, it meant Dvarim HaAsurim LeNazir, even though those were things that were not mamish the Ikari Surim Nazir, but even water that would be mixed with yain and tam keiker, even that nut. Then we got to the story of Vayivka, as where we're up to. Vayivka Elohim et hamachtesh asher balechi. So what that means is, according to Chazal, is that even though we know that, of course, lechi itself is the name of the place, Ramat Lechi and so on, but we darshan that to mean that when he was literally about to die from thirst, and he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to save me after all of these nisim with the plishtim, and I have nothing to drink, and I feel I'm about to die. So the water came out from the actual lechi, the jawbone that he had used to kill the plishtim, in a tooth that had been removed from the bone, and that's where the water came out from that he drank, which is very strange. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Tvei Rabbi Abi, Hu Iva LeDavar Tamei, since he was searching to go and to marry a woman who was originally a plishti, so because he wanted a Dover Tamei, Lefichach Nitu Chayav LeDavar Tamei, because of that, his life was made dependent on water that emanated from something that was Tamei. Okay, this is the way Rashi learns it. Most of the Mefarshim learn it. Whereas some of the Achronim, including the Marsha, learns that it's a reference to the actual lechi that is a Dover Tame. In other words, the picking up the lechi instead of using the nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he could use his actual arm to kill the Mitzri, the Plishti, that itself was evil a Dover Tame. He should have utilized his own yadayim. This again, of course, is the Mida Keneged Mida, which we're still in the middle of the overall sugya. Matocha Ruach Hashem Lefa'amo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together Ruach started to ring in his head, and it was Vatochel. Now, Vatochel is a very important word in the whole story of Shimshon. And Omer Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, this means Chalta, what's Vatochel? It means Chalta de Vatosha Yaakov Avinu. That at this point, there was the chalot, the beginnings of the nevuah that Yaakov Avinu had said from so long before, that saw in the future Shimshon and the way that he would destroy the plishtim. And this was the idea that the way that the nochash kills is by doing something from underneath that then destroys the entire binyan of the goof. And that's what happened in the same way that he destroyed the plishtim. V'atachal ruach Elohim l'famo b'machane dan. What does it mean, l'famo, to ring in him? Omer Rabbi Yitzchak v'Rabbi Ami, milameit shaita shchina mekashkeshet l'fanav kizok. It means that the shchina started to ring within him the same way that on the big day Kehuda, we have the zug that was the actual bells when the Kohen Gadol would come in that were on the Shulei HaMe'il. Ksivach lefa'amo b'machane dan uchtivatam b'nogei the meal of the Kohen Gadol pa'amon v'rimon, pa'amon v'rimon. So it's the same sense of the presence of the Shechina. And we've already pointed out the way that this is so much part of his story anyway, that even his mother was called the telephone bell, the Tzlalfonit, because she gave birth to the ring that was going to ring in him in the future. Bein Sar'a uvein Eshta'ol. Amar Rebbe Asi, Sar'a v'Eshta'ol are two mountains. Shnei orim gedolim ayu. V'akran Shimshon v'tochanan beze beze. And he was able to actually uproot pieces of this mountain and ground them up against each other. And again, the word tachel yachel. Uhu yachel lo shia et Yisrael. This means Papashas, he's going to be the beginning of the ones who are going to destroy the Plishtim. And even though there were fights on the Plishtim before, the weakening of the entire issue of the Plishtim, and to show them that they hadn't the rights that they wanted Eretz Yisrael, he was the one that undid the way that the Plishtim had infiltrated into the culture and consciousness of Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, it means a lashon of the, just like the same thing by Neder and by Nazir, lo yachel devoro, hu yachel, see, the chalot over here is all over the place. So hu chal shivuato shel Avimelech. The whole idea of Shimshon with the Plishtim was the need to take the land back from the way that Avram Avinu had limited the ability to fight the Plishtim because of the relationship with Avimelech and Avram, in which he had made the promise, Im Tishkor Li, Ulanini, Ulanachdi, and this is what they had agreed on. So since here the Plishtim, they started first to be Mechalel, the actual Shvuah, because of that, it was now the time for the Nevi'ahs. So this is a little bit strange, because, I mean, Lamaisa, it's 7 centuries later, and it was only B'pashtas, L'Ilanini L'Nechdi, which the Medrash holds, is that the truth is that Avimelech had, still 7 centuries later, the grandchildren, which, okay, others learn that seems a little bit crazy, and that it was actually L'Ilanechdi L'Nini L'Nechdi did not mean B'davka L'Ilanini L'Nechdi. Oh boy, I'm going to have trouble here with Barnea. I forgot to bring a drink. Hold on 1 second, guys, before I end up losing it. Just remind me to unpause, okay? Vayigdal anar vayavorachehu Hashem. B'ma berachu. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give as a special bracha to Shimshon? Omri b'yud amarav shebirchol ba'amato. He gave him a tremendous bracha in his penis, in that amasar kivnei adam v'zar'o k'nachal shotef. This we talked about in the Siyun, that's why, even though he was kivnei adam, that was the zera anashim, but he had an abnormal supply of semen. So that the idea that Chana, the way we understood it was that Chana herself was asking that she wants also Zera Kivnei Adam, and that's the Zera Anashim, not just Amato Kivnei Adam. Vayikra Shimshon el Hashem vayomer, Hashem Elokim zochrenina v'chaskenina ach hapam hazeh v'nakma nekam achat mishtei enai miplishtim. What does exactly this mean, one of my two eyes? Omar Rav, Omar Shimshon lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam. Zecholi esrim shana sheshafatati et Yisrael is a question. Some have the gears esrim shtayim, because there was these additional 2 years in which he wasn't a shefet, but had been undone by the plishtim. So some learn that this is also rekelel those 2 years. The pashas is that the gears should be esrim shana, because that's what it says, vayishpot et Yisrael, the esrim shana. I never once utilized that position that I had that to ever ask for anything for myself. And so because of that, it means that all of the things that I did, I can show, were not for me. Because of that, I have this chus still for one of my eyes in Olam Haba, and the other one is to complete my job with the plishtim. So we have this crazy story that, of course, this is at the beginning of Shimshon's career, where he captured 300 foxes, right? And he ties their tails together onto a torch, and that way they're all pulling against each other. Meanwhile, it's a fantastic way to get these nanomachines to light up every single place that the plishtim are growing their crops. And this destroys their fields. It's an absolute disaster. But why did he use precisely this crazy way of doing things that he could take Bedavka foxes? Maishna Shralim. Omar Rebbe Yaivu Barnagri. Omar Rebbe Chiyu Baraba. Omar Shimshon. Yavo Misha Chozer La'achorav. You have a fox, and the fox doesn't turn tail. A fox actually backs away, and he starts moving to the side. It's very, very difficult to predict where he's going to be going. So this is basically the way that the Plishtim do things as well. They also, Yiparami Plishtim Shechazur B'Shvuasam. They're always trying to get out of things, and they didn't have to keep the Shvuah, they think. And the whole idea that he was trying to do was to bring out the immorality of the Plishtim and why it is that they don't have a right any longer to rely on that Shvuah. Tanya Omer Rabbi Shimon Achosit, Ben Ktefav Shel Shimshon Shishima Mahaya. I can show you that there was the equivalent of 60 amos. So again, these are obviously Ramazan. It's not, doesn't literally mean that he had 60 amos between his shoulder blades, because then, he would make the elephant man look, happy. As you know, there's a very simple formula for determining the relationship of the supporting structures that would need to be there in order to have someone of that size, and they simply would not allow any kind of normative structures to work. So it clearly does not mean what it says. Okay, so I'm learning that it means that he could carry something that was Shishima Amma across. It doesn't mean that he was literally Shishima, but of course, the other Mefarshim explain it metaphorically, and what the remez is in terms of Shishima Amma is Shinema Vaishkav Shimshon Ad Chatzi Alayla, Vayokum Vachatzi Alayla, Vyachos Bedaltot Shar Yiru B'Shtei Mezuzot Vyaseim HaMabriach Vyaseim Al Ketefav. And then he went and he took them up to Hebron. And Gemiri Dein Daltot Azah Pechutot B'Shishim Amma. And we have a Kabbalah that the gateway of Azah, where the Plishtim were waiting for him, and instead of going through normally, just picked up the whole thing and walked out, which simply left them gaping, that was 60 amos. And then at the end, it says, Vayi tochein v'beta asrim, after they put out his eyes, they made him a tochein. What exactly would that mean, Vayi tochein? Because Vayi tochein is not, the mashma'ut is not that he was put to work as a tochein, but that's what he became, meaning that it was suitable for him. Rabbi Yochanan, this means more sex. That's what it means. Trina, to go grinding away, is a lashon avera. It's a way that people refer to intercourse. V'cheinu omer, we find that it's used that way, because what Eov says, that if I ever did something that was inappropriate with another person's wife, then titchan la'acher ishti, let some other guy grind away at my wife. So we understand the English equivalent of that. So it's the same thing that it means over here. And what was his job? His job was to impregnate every woman in the country. Everyone wanted to have their wife pregnant from Shimshon, because they figured if they're ever going to get any kind of Superman, it's going to have Shimshon genes in him. There's even some Utaina, I don't know what the mocker is, but that Goliath was one of the children of Shimshon. Which makes sense. You got this crazy giant, right? So he must have come from Shimshon, from the Plishtim. Omer of Papa, Haidu Damri Inche. That's what people say, you know. You give everybody the kind of thing that they enjoy. So if somebody is like really into drinking wine, say, Kameh Deshati Chaber, the guy's a drunkard, give him wine. Kameh Rafuka, Gridaya, Tuvla. So you have a guy who works in the gardens all the time, bring him a basket that's full of veggies. Same thing as Jewish Shimshon. Spends his whole life screwing around with these Plishtim women. Bring him some more Plishtim women. So that's it. He was a Tian Tochein. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, we see, by the way, from that pasuk in Eov, that kol mizaneh ishto mizanenet alav. Anybody who goes and commits adultery with a friend's wife, his wife commits adultery kneged his marriage. Because this is what Eov said. Im niftali bi alisha v'al petach rei arafti, that if I ever became drawn to my neighbor's wife, and I would sit there waiting at his door to be able to get a chance at his wife, then titchan la'acher ishti v'alea yichra'un acherim. So then let my wife grind away for other men, and let them all be screwing her, basically, yichra'un acherim. not very nice language on either language, but what you do. And this, we found this Lashon also, by the way, in Megillah, if you recall. That while he's with the pumpkins, his wife is playing around with the gourds. Same family, so to speak. Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Shimshon dan et Yisrael kaviyem shemashamayim. Shinemar. Dan yadin amo ki'achad. What's the pshat ki'achad? As if, kivayocho, it was so powerful that it was as if the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. And Omer Rabbi Yochanan Shimshon, al shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra. That very name of Shimshon is a remiss to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shinemar, ki shemesh umagen Hashem Elokim. So we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared over here to a shemesh, and a shield. So that means that Shimshon is like, even though the word over there is used, shemesh, as also the sense of, we find, Rashi says, we find places that the word shemesh means, is used as more like a mechitza. So we have the shimshotayich, the vesamti chatkod. So over there, it's a shemesh in terms of a window. So that which will allow the shemesh in could be like a frame of some sort. But the point is that it seems from the Gemara that the shame itself is a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is shemesh. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, Elamiata lo yimache. I mean, so then you're telling me it's literally Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then how would I be allowed to erase that word at all? So this Tosfos says is very strange, because we know that Shalom is considered to be a Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet it is definitely not usher to erase it, because we had the Gemara in Shabbos, as Tosfos points out, you're not allowed to say Shalom in a Beit HaMerchatz, where people are interested. Because over there, it says, Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. And nonetheless, there's no issue in erasing it. So just because, even if we honestly thought that Shimshon al Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu means literally that that's one of the things that we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why exactly did we think automatically that that would mean that you can't actually erase it? So Tosfos suggests that even though we have a lot of different names, let's say Hanun, Rachum, and Shalom, and so on, and those are names that there's no Isser of Mechika, but there is, because we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actual name was called that. It's called Al Shem His Midas. So we call him the Chanun because it's Bechonen. But Masha'in came over here, the Gemara thought that it meant the actual Shmo. And it answers, no, it's not. It's actually because of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts that we're calling him Shalom. And therefore it's the same, essentially, as Chanun. So that's how Tosfos learns, is the back and forth over here of the Shaka Vataria in the Gemara itself. Elamein Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like a name, because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts out as a Megin, a Kololam Kulo, he protects the entire earth. Av Shimshon Megin Bedoro Al Yisrael. Therefore, it's the same type of Al Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Shalom itself for Chanun would be. Yom Rabbi Yochanan Bilam Chigir Baraglo Achat. Oh, I forgot. You didn't remind me to do the recording. I forgot to do the other recording. Okay. Hopefully it'll be all right. So Bilam was actually lame on one foot, because it says over there, Vayelech Shefi. And Shefi means the Pashas, of course, the Pasuk Vayelech Shefi is that he walked all by himself. But we do find the Lashon of Shof in the Shof Miduchte, Buka De'atma the Shof Miduchte, which is where you have a dislocated thigh. So that means it's also a remez that he shuffled along, we have in English, so that he couldn't really walk properly on one leg. And Shimshon had problems with both of his legs. Shenema shififon aleorach. That's Yidan nachash aleiderach shififon aleorach. So then that means the way that a snake can't walk, it has to, instead it has to slither So too, Shimshon was unable to walk normally in Afalpi Ken. He did all those things that he did. Tana Rabbanan, Chamisha Nivru'u Mi'ein Dugma Shel Ma'ala. We have five people who are manifestations of a particular kayach in the Shiur Koma Kavayocho, of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself in the world, and every one of them was destroyed because of the particular thing that was given to them that was superhuman. Shimshon Bikocho, Shaul Bitzavaro, Avshalom, we're going to go through each one of them, Avshalom Bisaro, Tzidkiyohu Beinav, and Asa Biraglav. So the Gemara will go through each one of them, even though Rashi says on some of these that it was just the Kabbalah B'yadah, but we don't have really any real indication. There's a lot of work that's done among the Mefarshim to actually show that there are midrashim in each one of these that was particular. So let's go through them. Shimshon Bekocho, and each one was Lokui. How was Shimshon Lokui Bekocho? Dichtiva Yasar Kocho Mi'alab. And he didn't know that his keach had been taken away from him, and then she called the plishtim in, and that is when he was destroyed. Shaul Bitzavaro, Dichtiv Vayikach Shaul Tacherev, Vayipol Alea. So here, the idea is where normally a person would be cut by the sword, would be cut across the throat. So he was Neifel in his Savar. Again, the question of where do we see specifically that may have to do with his height, or maybe a Kabbalah that he had a very beautiful bearing as a Melech. Avshalom Bisaro, that we're going to see more of the Avshalom story later on, which we already know some of it from the Din in Nazir, that he was a Nazir Olam. We'll wait till we see that. Tzidkiyo Be'inav, Dechtiv et Enei Tzidkiyo Iver. Again, it's not bringing where we know that Tzidkiyo had a brocha in his eyes. However, remember that there are midrashim that they attempted to blind Tzidkiyo utilizing metal. They were unable to hurt his eyes. It was mamish supernatural eyes. So what did they do? That's when they went and they shechted his children in front of him. And that, from Rov of the Tsar and his crying, that blinded him. Asa biraglav, dechtiv rak le'et ziknato, chala et raglav. So when he became old, he had a problem in his feet, specifically. And we find that there were, again, there's midrashim about what it was, even though Rashi says it's Kabbalah and so on. But we find various midrashim how far the keach was that he had baragla. The Omer of Yudam Harav, what this means is, shechazato podagra. So he got in his old age, he got podagra. Either some type of arthritis, or some say it means gout. Normally, Marzutra, Beredu, Nachman, Lerav Nachman, Hechidami Padagra. How does it feel, this Padagra? We'll see that Rav Nachman himself may have suffered from Padagra. Normally, Kimachat Bibasarachai. It's like you're being attacked with a needle into your foot. You know, Yoda is Rav Nachman, no? Some say Reb Nachman had this. So he could have a shavi chashba, which is why he asked him, what does it feel like? He could have me rabbi shomale. Some say that it was a Kabbalah he had from his Rebbe. He could have me sora shemli reyav, uvrito lo diam. Sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu's megala, a person who wants to understand something, tells him, like we had before with Ben Azai, Dorash Rav, mipnei ma ne'nash asa. So the story over there, which was part of his kayach, Bibeshas Angaria Batamiri Chachomi, Shinema Vamelach Asa, Ishmiat Kol Yehuda, Ein Naki. So over there, in order to destroy, when there was the war with Basha and Asa, so he had built this immense fortification all around Rama in order to isolate Asa. And Asa insisted that everybody has to come and everybody has to participate in tearing that down so that nothing is left, so that they should all show their complete rejection of Basha's presence. And when he said Ein Naki, he meant Ein Naki. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, afilu chatan mechadro v'chala mechupato, who generally are potter even from going to war. So for sure, he took Talmid HaChachamim, which he really wasn't allowed to take. And since the support system of the world is Talmid HaChachamim, so therefore he was punished in his feet. Getting back to Shimshon, it says, Vayere Shimshon Timnata. Now, this is really strange because it says just the opposite. It says, Hinei Chamich Ole Timnata. Now, which way do you go? I mean, it says Shimshon went down to Timna, and then when it was talking about the way in which we end up having the Malchus Yisrael, which is the story of Tamar and Yehuda, so Tamar was told that Yehuda, your father-in-law, is going up to Timna. So do you go up to Timna or down to Timna? Omer Rabbi Elazar, Shimshon shenitganava k'tiv beyirida. Shimshon, who in the end, this was the beginning of a Yerida for him. So for him, indeed, we use the word Yerida. Yehuda, who became because of it the Melech, shenitaleva k'tiv ba'aliyah. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmini Omar, there are two Timnas. What's the problem? One was a Yerida, and one was an Aliyah. So one of them was at the bottom of a valley, one was at the top of a mountain. Rav Popa says, I don't get what the problem is. If there's one Timna that's in the middle of a mountain, so if you're coming in one direction, you're going down. If you're coming in the other direction, you're going up. And, I mean, that's sort of obvious, isn't it? So, therefore, it's simply telling you where Timna was actually situated. Like we have today, you know, we have Ardonia, and we have Beit Berri, and we have the Shuk and the Narash, which are in the middle of mountains, middle of, what passed for mountains in that area. And people say all the time, I'm going up to Narash, I'm going down to Ardonia. Depends where you're going from. Getting back to the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Now, it says over there that Tamar, when she went to find Yehuda, she set herself up the petach einayim, which is in the derech l'timna. What exactly is a petach einayim? Omer of Alexandre, it means, I mean, of course, bepashtas, it means an intersection. But melamed shalchav yashvala bepitcho shel Avraham Avinu, mokom shekol einayim tzofot lirotam. There was one place that everyone on earth was hoping that they would be zochah to see. And that was the place where Avraham Avinu had set up, which we'll talk about later, had set up his tent for Orchim that came by, and that was the place where they could get the bracha and where their entire lives would change. So it was a place that everyone dreamt of, calling name so forth. Everyone was looking towards the future to be zocher to be in that place. So she figured, the Pashtas, that if Yehuda is going up on that road, so obviously he's going to be going past Pischa Shel Avraham Avinu. Rabbi Chonon Amar Rav, no, the Pesach is a Pesach in a place called Einayim. We know that there were places called Einayim because we find in Yoshua it mentions a Tapuach, an Einam. So Einam could be this place of Einayim. You know, it's just the name of a city. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini Amar, it means Shenatna Einayim Lidvarea. It means that she had to give an explanation that made it reasonable when Yehuda came to sleep with her. So she had to explain why it's a good idea to sleep with her. Obviously, he wasn't going to go and just take any old whore. She had to be somebody very special. So he had to check out, first of all, that she was a maimin, and that she wasn't married, and that she wasn't tamea, and so on and so forth. So before he's ready to sleep with her, he needs a hechsher. So he asks her, maybe you're a nochrit, you're Eved Avod Zara. Amra lo, chas v'chalila, I'm a giyoret. I keep sheva mitzvahs b'nei neach. I know all about Avraham Avinu sivuyim. So he said, maybe you're an eshes ish. No, I'm a pnuya. But how do you know you're a pnuya, asks he. Maybe your father was mekabel kedushin for you, and therefore you may be married, and you don't even realize it. No, she says, for sure not, because I'm Yitoma, and I don't have a father. And, okay, it's a big question about she was married before, right? I said, how did she get married before and claim that she was a Pnuya? So she's saying she was married to Erva Inan. That's why she's coming out to Yehuda. So, I mean, what you have to say is that she tainted that actually she was a Bas Miun. So she was a Yesema, and her mother had married her off, in which case, so then she walked out on them. So that was Eker, the marriage with Chatchila. All kinds of very curious pshatim. Obviously, this doesn't fit well with the Medrash that she was the daughter of shame. If you take it literally, that she was literally the daughter of shame, then there's no way she could have been a Ketana, of course. We're talking about centuries later over here. So he says to her, Shema Tmeyat, maybe you're Nida. No, she says, I'm Tahira. By the way, this place about Avram Avinu. So it says over there, Vayita Eshel Bebe'er Sheva. What exactly is an Eshel? So Reish Lakish says, Melamit Sha'asa Pardes, Venatabo Komine Megadim. Because Eshel is usually a type of tree. I mean, it doesn't make sense. He planted a tree. So what it's saying is he planted groves of trees, and this way people that would come by would have all types of delicious things to eat. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemya, so one says it means a pardes, the other one means as it means a pundak. And if it's a pundak, so then it's a type of bread and breakfast that he opened up for them. So then we use the word eshel as a notrikun. So the question is, I mean, we use it, of course, as achila and shtia and lina, but basically over here we understand it as the way that Rashi has it is that it's a notrikun also for meramis to melaveh otam afterwards. So it's achila shtia livaya instead of just lina. So in other words, it would stay over and then they would be accompanied by Avram Avinu or by his shluchim, and that would be the meaning of the pundak. So bishlam lamandiyam pardes. I understand why you say vayita. I mean, that's what you usually do. To plant, you have to plant a tree. But a pundak? How do you plant a hotel? My vayita. No, says the Gemara, because we do find the lashon of vayita in terms of a beautiful, royal kind of city. Vayita o'alei apadno. I mean, after all, in the Mares of Daniel, we have these great Malchus is planting, so to speak. So pitching a tent, even if it's a palace, it's an apadna, is also called Vayita. And then Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem El Olam. So how exactly is the part about planting an orchard or opening up a hotel, how does that tie into this idea of Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam? I mean, it's a sort of a weird place to be saying Hallel. I mean, in a hotel? In the middle of an orchard? So therefore, Omer Reish Lakish, no, doesn't mean Vayikra. It means Vayakri, that he got other people through planting this orchard or opening up his hotel. He kri Avram Avinu, he put into the mouths of every person who was coming by the name of Hashem. How did he do this? He gave them to eat all his great stuff. So the normal thing is that, you know, a guest comes to give a bracha to the balabayit and to tell him, I can't thank you enough here in the middle of the wilderness to find such things. We're overwhelmed. And he would look to them and he would say, did you eat my things? Where do you think this food comes from? What do you mean? I'm just a human being. I can't create food. I can't give you anything. So if you are supporting life with this food, then obviously it's not I who are giving you life. You have to look to the source. Is that the way you usually do things? You look to secondary causes in life? That's a weird way to live. Why not go straight to the roots? God, people who look to secondary sources, they even make little idols and stuff. What a waste of time. So if you want to give a bracha to the source. Who did you eat? Everybody knows you ate from Elohei Olam. Well, so, I mean, one guy says, yeah, but okay, now you're going to start up with us. Who is Elohe Olam, you know? You got this whole Beatles song, you know, listing every ridiculous god, you know? So no, that was the whole point. So Avram would say, do we all agree that we ate from the god of the world? I don't give a hang what you call it, but we're all agreed on that. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that. Okay, fine. So therefore, I say, Hodu v'shapchu uvarchu l'misha amar v'haya olam. Let's go all the way down to the roots. Where does it all come from? We're talking about life itself, right? You're eating, supporting biology. Where did that come from? It came from nowhere. Some kayach brought this into being. All it was, amar v'haya olam. Notice how he does this gradually, right? It's a brilliant trick. Okay, so first of all, we're all agreed it's not me. Well, I mean, that's the truth, of course, but we were going to thank you. Okay, but that's absurd, you know. We all live off of the living God. Yes, we certainly do. What a gentleman, what a gentleman. Okay, so I think we should go straight to the roots and give thanks to he who spoke and made this appear. I guess you're right about that, too. So basically, in taking that first move to make that bracha, they were Kerish Meshalach Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and everybody started thinking about how to undo the Toos HaVenesh, as the Rambam explains. Anyway, now getting back to Yehuda and Tamar. Vayir'ea Yehuda. So Yehuda sees this woman, and he thinks that she's this prostitute. Ki chistapa now, because she had her face covered. I never heard of prostitutes covering their face. I mean, it's not a very good way to hawk your business, is it? So, mishum dechista fanea chashavala zona, what is it supposed to mean? How could he have thought that she was zona because she was mechase panea? Omar Rabbi Elazar, it means because she was so tzanua, and all the time that she had been in Yehuda's home, waiting for this Yibam that she was hoping was coming, she never, ever uncovered her face. So Yehuda didn't know what she looked like. So therefore now, he didn't know who it was. It never occurred to him that this is Tamar, his daughter-in-law. The Omer Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonatan, Kol Kala, she tzmua bebeit chamiya. All of this time that she was married to Er and to Onan, and then to waiting in his home, Zocha v'yotzi mimena malachim u'neviim. A woman who is so tzanua like this has an incredible schus that in the end, she has children that are shayach to Malchus and are shayach to Nevi'us. Where do we see this from? From Tamar herself. We know that Nevi'im came from Tamar. Because since it says Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz, and we're going to see that Amotz came from the same family as David. The relationship between Amotz and Amatzia, as we'll see, was of brothers. Melochim mi David, which is obvious that that came directly from Tamar. That's the whole story. The Omer Rabbi Levi, so that means Yeshayahu ben Amotz was a brother to Amatzia, who was a melech, and we're looking for the top over here. So we could have just said Amotz v'Amatzia, that would have been both melech and Nevi'im, but we want to see the melechim from David, who was the greatest of the melechim, and we want to see Nevi'is coming from Yeshayo. He mutsate. What exactly does mutsate mean? Mutsate is a very strange formulation of the word. I mean, if we're talking about she was taken, which is the pashta, she's being grabbed and dragged to be burned, right? So then it should say mitutsate. She's being taken out. He mutsate is mashma that she was found. Lashon of Mitziah. So why are we using that strange Lashon? Omar Rabbi Elazar, what it means is that when she found the simonim that she had been keeping the whole time, that she had asked from Yehuda, so she wanted to have his matah and his signet ring and so on, so she had thought this, what do you mean, she found it? Yes, because what happened was that the Satan came and was marchik the simonim, and all of a sudden she can't find them, right? Because this is the way that Chazal have the Sar of Esav is the name that is given to the Satan Samach Mem, and he wanted to make sure that David was ever appointed, was ever born for that matter, because David is the one that destroys Edom. And so he came along and he hid them, took them far away. But Gavriel was the Malach who helps Yisrael in many, in a lot of places. He was Makar of them, said she could find them. So therefore it says, Mutzeit, to be Merames, that she found the Simonim. And this is what David HaMelech was referring to when he writes an ode to the bird of silence. What exactly is that? Lamnatseach Aryonat Elem, on a dove of silence. What is David HaMelech writing an ode to a bird of silence? Rechokim, the one that's far away. It's like such a strange name for a poem. And then it says the David Michtam, somehow or other. So we're using Michtam, the Pashas, of course, like an ode. But we'll see why it refers specifically to David. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this actually is talking about this moment of Yonat Elem Rechokim, that this beautiful dove was like what happened to Tamar when she's been waiting to use these simanim. And she's telling them, listen, this is very important evidence in this case, which before you burn me, you have to look at this evidence. She goes to get the evidence and to present it to the court. It's not there. So they ask her, what are you talking about? So she starts going, which basically sounds like a pigeon cooing, and she's got nothing to say. So now she is the silenced bird. So this was Rechokim, Mishash Nisrachaka, Simaneha. Why do we refer to David, Li David Michtam? Because what it's saying is that in her schus came David who was Michtam. So in what sense is he a Michtam? She had some imeno David, Shayamach, Vitam, Lakol. He was a person who was an Oni in his own Mach, means that he was a very humble person. And he was tam in his midas. He was honest and straight, lako, to everyone. And he came from her. So that's the ode to the bird that made the David was michtam. Davar acher michtam is a reference to the fact that he was born without an orla. And that means shaita makato tama. So that which would normally require a actual maka, so you would have had to cut off the orla, for him, he was born with that maka tama and didn't need to have a bris milah. Because shenolad kishuhu mahu, davar acher michtam, means kishem shebekat muto iktinat smoit somisha gadol mimenu lilmot Torah, kach begdulato iktinat smoit somisha gadol mimenu lilmot Torah, is the gears of the Bach. So the idea over here is that he was someone who was always Michtam. This was, remember, we had the Gemara Brachos about Mephiboshet. Below Od, Ala Kol Davar Shaneir, Ani Olech LeMephiboshet, Mirabi, Yofet Anti, Yofet Tearti, and so on and so forth. So, Tam Makoth Machutho is what it means. That in his entire life, he was Mach. And he was Mached in himself, even when he was a Melech. The Yishal Chal Chania, so Tamar sends these things with a message. I'm pregnant by this man who owned these things. I mean, that's a little bit around the bush. I mean, why doesn't she just say, look, you got me pregnant, so here's the proof. This is your stuff. And instead, she doesn't do that. She presents the evidence to the court, but she leaves it up to Yehuda to say that this means it's him. Why? I mean, why doesn't she defend herself? Say the truth. Why does she leave it up to him? Omer of Zutra Bartuvi Amarav, Vahamila Omer of Chana Barbizna, Omer of Shimon Chasida, Vahamila Omer of Yochan and Mishum of Shimon Bar Yochai. From here you see an amazing thing, that even though she could have said that, but as far as being Yotze her Chiev to present the evidence to the din, she did that. Here's the evidence. Now you guys use your brains to understand the evidence. I'm not b'chuyif to tell you how to be done this evidence. But if she would have openly said that you got me pregnant, it would have been extremely embarrassing for him. And therefore, she felt that she would rather literally be burnt in a furnace, instead of my defending myself and saying that you are the one who got me pregnant. If you come and fess up, then it's an honorable thing for you. But if you're exposed in this fashion, it's a terrible embarrassment. I'm not going to put you into that kind of situation, even if it's to save my life. How do we know that? Minalan mitamar. And that's why she says, please, hakerna lemi, who is the owner of this chotemet? Homer Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Hanina. This is back to the horrific implications of Mida Keneged Mida. Yehuda was the one who told his father, and he says to Yaakov, Hakerna, Aktonet bin Chahi, right? And the most horrific moment in his life was when she said, Hakerna, exactly the same words that he had said to his father. That's no coincidence. So, Bahaker Biserla Aviv, Bahaker Bisru. They let him know that this is the moment where he's got to fess up. Bahaker Biser, Hakerna Aktonet bin Chahi. Hakir bisruhu, hakirna lemi hachotemet, and so on. And why does she say na? Ein na elaloshon bakasha. What she said to him is, amrale, bivakasha mimcha. I'm asking you to be hakir pnei bor acha. I'm talking about another hakir. Because remember, nobody knows. And he has no pressure on him. No external pressure to admit that it was he who got her pregnant, right? Because it was clear she wasn't going to say it was him. And so what she's saying, that no, is pinei, to be makir, that there is someone here. There's always an aid. And that's the presence of HaKadosh Baruch. And therefore, haker pinei boracha, ve'alta alim einecha mimeni. And don't pretend that nobody knows. Vayaker Yehuda vayomer tzadka mimeni. She's right. I'm the one that got her pregnant. I knew the Amr of Chani Bar Bizna, Amr of Shema Chasida. Yosef was Makadesh Shem Shamayim Beseter. And he didn't sleep with all that she tried to do to him, didn't sleep with her. So he was Zocha Vosifu Lo Otechat Mishmo Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. Dichtiv Edut Bi Yosef Shama. Shama. So they turned that name, which remes to, into the edus that he was not chayte by adding the hey of Hashem's name to Yosef's name. But Yehuda, who was mekadesh shem shamayim befarhesia, by saying that it was me, and that he admits it and he saves her life, zocha v'nikra kula al shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Yehuda has all of the letters of the Shem Hashem. Kivan shahoda. So he is the merames here to two different things, because yatsta bat kol v'amra ata itzalta tamar u'shnei v'ne'a min ha'ur chayecha shani matzil b'zchutcha shlosha mibanecha min ha'ur. You save three people from the fire. I will save your children, Hananya, Mishael, v'Azaria, where they were also thrown into the Mamish like Tamar, and the fire was unable to be shared on him. And when she said, he said, Satka mimeni, how does he know that he got her pregnant? I mean, if she's been running around on the street corners and picking up men, so she could have gotten pregnant by anybody. He immediately jumps to the conclusion that just because he happened to be one of her customers, that therefore he was the one that got her pregnant. Minoyada. Ah, because what it says over here, tzadka, mimeni, that was a bat kol, that said mimeni yatsu kivushim. It's all my manipulation of history that had all of these things take place in order that there should be a malchus Yisroel. And then it says, v'lo yasaf od ledata. What does lo yasaf mean? Omar Shmuel Saba. Chamuad Rav Shmuel Barami, Mishmeid Rav Shmuel Barami, Kivan Shiyada'a, Shuv Lo Pasak Mimeno. Once he had already slept about it with her, and he saw that everything that she did entirely l'shem shamayim. He never stopped treating her as a wife after that, because k'sivach v'lo yasaf od l'data, v'k'tivatam kol gadol v'lo yasaf. So on Har Sinai, the kol never stopped. And here too, lo yasaf l'data. Avshalom was nitga'e b'saro. Toner Rabbanan, Avshalom b'saro morad. How do we know? Shenemar uba ke'avshalom lo haya ish yafeh. There was no one as beautiful as Avshalom in all of Klal Yisrael. That was expressed in this beautiful hair, as the pasuk continues. Uvgalcho et rosho, v'haya miketz yamim layamim asher yigaleach, ki chaved alav v'gilcho. So he would weigh the sa'ar rosho, and it would be so heavy, it was matayim shkalim be'even amelach. And this is, remember, what is an Evan HaMelech, by the way, Tana? An Evan HaMelech is the Evan she'anshei Tveria v'anshei Tzipori shoklimba. So it's a very heavy kind of mishkal, because we know from the Gemara that the shekel of Tveria and Tzipori was actually heavier than the standard. And lefichach, nitla besaro, getting back to the Braita, shinemar v'yikorei Avshalom lifnei avdei David, Yavshalom rochev al haperet, vayavo haperet tachat shovach ha'ila, ha'gdola, vayachezak rosho ve'ila, vayutan ben ha'shamayim, uvin ha'aretz, vayaperet ha'shetach tovavar. See, here he is, he's riding along on a mule, and the mule passes under this thick tree, and he gets tangled up in the tree branches. The parrot keeps, this mule just keeps walking on, leaving him hanging there in an awfully exposed position. So he grabs his sword, and he wants to just cut the hair so that he can drop down and run before they catch him. Tone de Rabbi Shmuel, botasha a nifkasha ol mitachtav. At that moment that he took out the sword, he looks down, and there's a gaping hell beneath him. Not a good idea. So he was sort of caught wherever he was. Vayigaz ha-melech vayal al-aliyat ha-shar vayef v'ko amar b'lechto. V'ni Avshalom, v'ni Avshalom, mi yitein muti ani tachtech Avshalom, v'ni, v'amelech la'at et panav, v'yizak ha'melech kol gadol, v'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, v'ni. Oh, what in the world is eight times mentioning my ben, hanitmani b'ni lama? So he was trying to utilize his zechus for his son, b'ni. So Shiva was the Aske Mishiva Midure Gehenna. Seven of these brought Avshalom up from the lowest level of Gehenna. And the other one, some say Ikedi Amre, the Korev Reshe Legabe Gufe, Ikedi Amre, the Aite Liyamada Ati. Some say the last one was to actually not only to get him out of hell, but to actually bring him into Elam Haba. But others say that it means that when they killed him, that his head was actually separated from his body. And as it's a big bizoyan, so that the eighth one was to be mashlim, same idea that we had by Yehuda. V'Avshalom, that's a little bit weird, because Avshalom lakach v'yatsev lo b'chayav. Wait, before we finish that pasuk, what do you mean lakach? Took what? My lakach. Omer Resh Lakish, lakach mikach ra la'atzmo. He made a very bad stock investment over here, and he took, he bought into the wrong kind of future. So what did he do? Et matsevet asher be'emek ha'melech. So he built this matseva that is right there in the Emek HaMelech, which he calls Yad Avshalom, and it's a very impressive building, and everybody should remember him. So what is a matsevet in the Emek HaMelech? Very unusual kind of language. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, it means Emek HaMelech is the same as we find the Emek Hevron, and it means Be'etza Amuka Shel Malko Shel Olam, that this entire thing had been a gzera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David HaMelech after the Maisa with Batsheva that Inini Mekim Alecha Ra'a Mitoch Betecha. So that, what was that referring to? That was referring to the merit of Avshalom, which he had brought upon himself by getting involved with Batsheva. So this is the same idea that it's a matzevet. That means, as Rashi says, "Lo'olam Hashem v'orcha nitzav b'shamayim." A gezerah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands up there, and it becomes clear. It echoes throughout history. And this is Hirini Mekim Alecha Ra'a Mi Beitecha, as the same drush that we have, Kayotze B'davar Atah Omer, Vayishlacheo Mi Emek Chevron, that when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to his brothers, which was the beginning of Yiridas Mitzrayim, Omer V'chadino Bar Papa, Emek Chevron, Chevron's not in an Emek. But what it means is Be'itza Amuka Shiloto Tzadik Shekavur B'chevron, Tichtiv Yadoa Tida, Ki Ger Ye Zaracha, and will continue on with the, it's already late, I don't want to keep you, but we'll continue on with why it is that he made the Pashas, is that he built this Matzevet, and the remnants over here is that he bought into a very big mistake. Sometimes people, they make that one choice, and that's it. They buy into something that destroys their life.